We're in Sefer Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Hey. We're going to the three factors that hold a person back in their Avodas Hashem. Even if they're already on a good path, they could fall if one of these three factors affect them. Vasheni hinehu kashe ma'od. The second one is really hard. It's really hard because when a person's stuck in it, it's hard to get out of. Vehu haschok v'halatzon. And that's where a person ridicules things and is sarcastic about things. Kimi shetovei abam, someone who's sunken in them. Someone who's, that's their whole way of thinking, their whole mindset. Hu kimi shetovei b'yam hagadol. He's like someone who's drowning, who's in the middle of an enormous ocean. Shekashe ma'od limaret menu. That's the whole way they think, it's their whole mindset. Whenever they hear a Devar Torah, their mind works like this. They say like, where can I pick out a line to make fun of it? Like, that's the way their mind is thinking. When they're talking to a friend, their whole mind is working. Like, what can I make a joke out of? Like, what are they saying where I can, like, pick out something was an idiosyncrasy in what they said and then laugh at them or make fun of them? That's just how they work. When they get an invitation, right, the first thing they look for in the invitation is, where's the mistake? There's definitely going to be a mistake here. Let me find that mistake. Their whole mind is working in a kind of a crooked way of, like, I can make fun of things and things aren't straight. And hinehu aschok. Hu ma'abed, ki hinei aschok hu ma'abed et lev ha'adam. A person who ridicules takes away the heart of the person. Because the heart of a person is that which enables you to connect to something emotionally. You have to be open emotionally to a certain person or to a certain situation where you can say, wow, there's something here. I'm amazed by it. I'm inspired by it. I connect to it. I feel an appreciation towards it. Some open emotion that a person can feel towards another person or towards a situation where you're able to connect emotionally to something. That's the lave. The lave is the emotions. And you're able to have an emotional connection with something. But the moment that a person's mind works in sarcasm and in cynicism and in ridicule, then their heart is not open to have an emotional connection. All they're trying to do is to try and break the relationship, disconnect by putting a barrier in between, by taking out something secondary or minor, blowing that out of proportion and laughing at it, instead of being able just to appreciate the greatness of what's happening here. Many years ago, I was in a chuppah with a boy in Karen B'Yavin, and there was a Masada Kedushin. I don't know who he was. To this day, I don't know who he is. And he was like this. He was a tzchok person. And you know, a chuppah is a tremendous moment. It's a time where it's the connection of two souls. It's the time where you're founding your home. You're going away from being individuals to being together. And there's many, many, many things you could say at that moment that could make the couple feel that they're beginning a new life together. There's something very great happening. Some people have a tradition of mentioning all the grandparents who are no longer alive as a sense of a continuation of previous generations. And it's a very great ma'amad. And this particular Masada Kedushin, whoever he was like kind of making fun of the chassan. Don't get the wrong finger now. Like all like little things that weren't funny at all. And took totally away from the greatness of the moment. It was like making fun of small things that made you like feel that what was happening here was just like staged and silly and insignificant. And that was late sunnah. So it took away from any feeling of something great happening. It took away the lev. And it was a missed opportunity. Until there's no logic, there's no straightforward thinking, because a person's mind is twisted. He's like someone who's drunk, or like someone who's not just drunk, which is something temporary, but he's a shoite. He's someone who can't think straight. A person's mind who works in this crooked manner is always like looking to make fun of things and twist things around, that they're not thinking in an honest, straight way. They won't be able to connect to someone in a yosha way. Where you can't use wisdom with them and you can't direct them. There are, I'm taking a step out of this for a minute. There are times where making fun of something could be appropriate. Like if a person themselves is thinking in an inappropriate way and they're like thinking of why they won't be successful in something, why it's going to be a big failure, then, and like this week's Parsha by Yaakov said, with someone who's crooked, you can also be crooked. When someone's thinking in a silly way, in a futile way, in a way of breaking themselves, then you can use this koach of late sanus to make fun of that way of thinking. Like a person gets carried away with anxious thoughts, and this might happen, and that might happen, that might happen. You can make fun of it. Because there, what you're doing is the very thing. You're saying, this thing, don't connect your heart to it. The way of thinking that you're currently thinking is an unhealthy way. Let's find a way to ridicule it and make fun of it. Because you're not thinking in a straight way. So it's good to disconnect the heart from that not straight way of thinking. So there is a place for this way of thinking. But whenever it's aimed to, and the Gemara says that, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, that one is supposed to make fun of Avodah Zarah and to make nicknames and like silly nicknames which are ridiculing Yetzer Hara, because where something doesn't have value and you shouldn't be connecting to it in an emotional way, then it's important to do Leitzanus. There was once in Israel a cult leader, and there were people who were good-hearted who were getting involved in the cult, and they asked one of the Rabbonim who I learned by, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakovson, to help get these kids out of this cult. And he did something very, very clever. He listened to a lecture, shiur, whatever it's called, a speech of this cult leader, and he noticed some like funny way that he speaks. I don't know what it was exactly, the way he pronounces a certain word, or I don't know, some speech fault that this person has. And when he spoke to the kids, he just started making fun of the way that this leader spoke. And he imitated their voice and impersonated them, and he like made up little poems which he used. Well, let's say it was an S that he couldn't pronounce, or whatever it was. But he made little poems which had that thing. He would probably say the following poem like this, and then he like made fun of it. And then whenever they heard him after that, they were only hearing the jokes that this rabbi had made against this cult leader, because that was the way now that they were like picking up on. So that's fantastic. Meaning it's important to, when you don't want to connect to something emotionally, then it's very good to like pick out these silly things and make fun of them and ridicule them. It's a good tool to use in the appropriate situation. But when a person aims this negative force towards Torah, mitzvahs, anything which has inherent value, then you're totally breaking down your ability to have an emotional connection. And when it's the way that a person thinks, it's very damaging. Asher Iyev Shara Tetlehem or Mara Hanegam, you're no longer able to speak to them in an honest way or to direct them. Ki einam mekablim hanaga. They're not receiving from you any way of direction. For whom Hashem Shlomo Melech Alav Shalom, lischok amarti muhulal ulesimcha mazu osa. Right, there's a stira in Koheles. Sometimes he praises joy, and sometimes he says joy is inappropriate. And this is the way they resolve it. They say that the simcha that he's referring to, where it's the simcha which is making fun of significant things, is inappropriate. So there's a simcha which is a simcha of valuable things, and then it's a very important trait. And there's a simcha, which is not really simcha, but it's like a simcha of foolish things. A person's rejoicing over being making fun of other people. But a simcha's mazu asa, I said about simcha, what is it doing? It's only taking away. Makes it interesting. Mazu asa, like, it's leaving you in a place of mazu. What is this? Like, you don't have any real significance or connection to it. And Chazal say in Avos, Schok v'kalus rosh margilim es ha'adam le'erva. Why dafke erva? Ki afal pi shechamura hi erva etzel kol ben das. Even though erva is clearly recognized by everyone to be very severe, v'libo yare mikarov elia, a person's very careful, he puts boundaries around himself not to come close to it, mikoach hatziur shekvar nitztayer besichlo mi'amitut godol pi shav rov ansha, and the way that a person got to be careful about not coming close to erva is because every person in their mind creates a recognition, a picture in their mind of how severe it is and how what the great consequence is. But once a person starts joking around and making fun and being light-hearted in these areas, and slowly but surely that brings him closer and closer, until slowly but surely the barrier that he's built around himself of recognizing how significant this matter is. He jokes once, he goes down, the one row of stones goes down. He jokes another time, another row of stones goes down. Until eventually, by joking and joking and joking about this matter, the whole barrier that he's placed between him and this thing that he knows is very inappropriate falls away. And with joking and joking, it can all go down. I was in a bank the other day. And you see how inappropriate it is when you have, there were two bank clerks, a man and a woman. And they're not husband and wife. Yeah. And they were like kind of lightly joking amongst themselves about like what the work they were doing. And you can easily see how that's breaking down boundaries of, like for example, if you would follow guidelines of only calling them Mr. Cohen and Mrs. Levi, as opposed to using their first names, you have clear guidelines, and you wouldn't break those guidelines. You wouldn't call them by their first names in order to keep those boundaries in place. But once they're, even if you're saying Mr. Cohen, but you're saying it like in a joking way, like in a sweet way, in a way of like, then you say it, but it, at the same time as saying the Mr. Cohen, but you're saying it in a way which causes an affection and affinity by joking together and joking around together, and it can break down those boundaries. It's easy to see how the boundaries would fall away. Madrega achar madrega, ad sheyagia el ha'avon atzmo v'yaseihu. Until eventually a person, chas v'shalom, would go and do the sin itself. Kein kol atzmo shel tzok. That's the whole essence of what joking, not laughter in a healthy way, but rather ridiculing is doing. Mesir leiv min ha'machshavot ha'yishrot v'ayuniot. It takes a person's heart away from straight thinking and in-depth thought, where a person can clarify, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? Is this appropriate? Is it inappropriate? And through the joking, it won't allow the serious thoughts, the thoughts of where boundaries, healthy boundaries should be, they won't enter the person's heart. And it's so dangerous. It's such a dangerous thing. Because a person whose mind is geared this way, a person whose mind thinks this way about different things, it's very hard for him to say, I'll only say it in respect to Avodah Zarah, and I'll only say it in respect to ridiculing a culture which is an antithesis of Torah. He'll say in respect to everything. He'll say in respect to food, in respect to Rabbonim, in respect to friends. And I once heard from a great rabbi that he said that he took on a certain practice, which was a good thing to do. And someone else who he called the great rabbi, so my great rabbi's great rabbi, so someone obviously very great, said, oh, you're doing this? Very nice, very nice. Like, and then he stopped doing it after that. Because he picked up from that greater rabbi, and that person was saying, oh, nice, nice thing you've taken upon yourself. Like, cute, sweet, very nice. But the rabbi, in his mind, gave it a lower significance than what he had currently given it. And once the rabbi didn't take seriously, at least he interpreted, the rabbi wasn't taking seriously what he'd taken upon himself, then he had no ability, from his mind, he had no ability to continue doing this good hanhaga tova that he'd taken upon himself because it had been ridiculed by someone who he perceived as great. And he said to me, now, I know that rabbi, if he would have realized that would happen, he would never in a million years have done it. He only cared about Yirat Shamayim, he only cared about growth. And it was like a moment where he probably just wasn't thinking of what the consequence of his statement would be. But for me, it killed me in doing that. It prevented me from carrying on doing that hanhaga tova. And that wasn't even like a real ridicule. That was just like, oh, cute, what a nice thing to take upon yourself. And he meant it in a way of like lightly joking with his Talmud. But it prevented his Talmud from continuing. So Leitzanus is a killer. It's something which anything that you hold significant is made fun of. I once remember a scenario where someone was saying that we must do something, and they were saying it in an impassioned way. And those who were listening were saying, yeah, this is really important, this is really important. And there was someone in the crowd who was a late, was making fun, and said, yeah, we have to do it, and we have to, and then started taking it to a very exaggerated place. And we're going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we'll conquer this, and we'll take over that, and by the end, we'll be ruling the whole world. Right? And the moment they started saying that, then all the people who were listening lost their enthusiasm to continue with the project. Because even though initially they were swept away and emotionally connected, but once one person said a word of making fun of it, even though they were saying the same thing, just saying it in an exaggerated manner, then everyone else said, oh yeah, well, what were we thinking? Why are we getting so excited? It's only nothing. So the koch of Leitzanus is taking something which is significant and making it worthless. So as I said, you can use that power in an appropriate place. You can take something which seems to people to be significant and make it worthless. If everyone's getting really excited about some phone or some fad that's passing or some, you know, some singer or whatever, something that's going on, that's going through the world, everyone's getting into it and getting more into it, getting more into it, right? And you want to take away people's connection to this thing which, as you know, is only passing, then it's appropriate to make fun of it. Because then it will cause them to lose their emotional connection to that thing, and then they can refocus on what's really important. But when that same power is used, that same tool is used in respect to learning Torah, in respect to davening, in respect to connection to Rabbonim, then it will be very hard for that person afterwards to then reestablish their significance in that matter. That's what the word kaved and kal mean. Kaved has the dual meaning of being heavy and also giving honor to. Kavod, kaved is the same word. Meaning when you consider something to be significant, like it's got weight, then you give it honor. And the opposite of that, which is kalus rosh, is when you don't give something weight, when it's light in your eyes, so a person does kalus rosh, like they take it insignificantly, and then you don't take that matter as seriously. Kal and kaved are the two opposites there. V'tireh kshi halatzon v'ashchatato haraba. You have to deeply see how severe, how damaging making fun of things is. It's like a shield which is smeared with oil, that when asher yashmit v'yapil me'alav chitzim, when anyone tries to throw an arrow at it, shoot an arrow at it, the arrow doesn't even hit it. It just slides off and slides off and slides off. Mashlicham la'aretz v'lo yaniach otam shiagiyu el guf ha'adam. It doesn't allow the arrow to penetrate the body at all. So too halatzon b'fnei ha'tochacha v'hamardut. And that's exactly what ridiculing does when a person comes to give encouraging, building, constructive criticism. That if a person has within them this power of leitzanus, then instead of hearing something as, I could learn from that, and that applies to me, and I need to hear this message, I can grow from this, they find a way to ridicule the topic or ridicule the one saying it, and therefore it doesn't apply to me, and therefore I don't have to learn from it. I was once in a shul in Tzvat, and there was a group there of Birthright, and they were not religious, and they'd just been into the shul in Tzvat, and they'd come out, and they were going somewhere, I think the market in Tzvat, and the guide who was with them, who he himself was religious somewhat, he said to them, we're going to be going now to the marketplace. And in a joking way, he says, but I have to warn you. I have to warn you. There are missionaries there. There are missionaries with tefillin. And they're going to try and pull you over. And they're going to try and put tefillin on you. And they're called Chabad. So I've warned you ahead of time. Be careful. If you see them, just run away. And he was saying it in a joke. He presumed that people understood the joke. But they didn't understand it as a joke. They said, okay, fine. Those people, we must make fun of them. Most people are not good people. And these Birthright kids may have had an open heart. And they may have walked into the marketplace of the shuk in there in Tzvat. And someone may have said to them, are you interested in putting on tefillin? And they would have said, sure, why not? And they would have put on tefillin. But because they'd heard this voice of the lates who made a joke out of comparing Chabad to missionary work, Jewish missionaries, he called them. So now they already had this late sadness in their heart. So when someone came to offer them, they're like, "Ah, no, thank you. Not for me. And then they just walked on and they missed that opportunity. And often what you hear first leaves a deep impression on a person. They're not open anymore to receive the words. I remember when I was in Eish HaTorah, so there was one rabbi there called Daniel Rowe. And he had a tradition already of being a great speaker. Like from year to year, the people who had come from the previous year's program to the next year's program, they held of him very highly. So when people came to hear him, they'd given him such honor. He'd heard, like from the grapevine, people who were coming had heard that he gives great lectures, he gives great talks. So people who came were very, very open to hear what he had to say. And even when he would say things that were just normal things, he said very inspiring things as well. But even when he would say just normal things, people were like, wow, they were very inspired because they'd entered a place of an open heart. They had a heart which was ready to receive what had to be said. But if they heard about someone else that he's boring, and or some like he has some sort of an accent or whatever, some ridicule word, then even if that person says very inspiring things, they won't be open to hear from that person what it is to say. My wife told me that when she went to seminary, that she'd heard from someone a year older than her, that there's this one rabbi and they said something derogatory. And then so she just didn't go to his shiurim. Like she opted for different shiurim. And then towards the end of the year, she heard good things from other people about these shiurim. So she said, oh, maybe I'll try them out. And she loved them. Like she loved the shiurim. And she said, like, what a chaval that I accepted that leitzanus that that person said. And I must just throw my piece over here. I know there are different opinions about this, but this is my view on the matter. The Purim Spiel. In previous years in Keren B'Yavneh, not recently, Baruch Hashem, but in previous years in Keren B'Yavneh, the Purim Spiel involved boys impersonating Rabbeim. And the way that you impersonate the rabbi is taking the biggest idiosyncrasies that the rabbis have and, like, you know, exaggerating them. That's what you do. And I went, my Shana Aleph, to the Purim Spiel in Keren Yavne. And the people who acted did a very good job for what they were trying to do. But it left an impression in my heart of a way to relate to a particular rabbi. And it was hard for me to learn Torah from that rabbi with an open heart for a long time afterwards. Because whenever I would hear him, I would hear the Purim Spiel. That's just what I heard. I heard the Purim Spiel. And it took a long time for me to like release myself from that. And to be able just to hear him again. In an open way and in a natural way. Because I had this impersonator view of the late Sanus that was said about him. Baruch Hashem, in recent years it's been clean. And they do a Purim Spiel or a Purim video. And it's been without making fun of Rebbeim at all. And I think that's the only way that it can be. It's not clear to me why it was done in previous days. I asked great Rabbanim in other places as well. And they said, Sarich Iyum, but it's been done Dore Doros. Which I don't really understand. Well, that's a good answer. But not to be Motzi Laz on the Rishonim, so you're going to continue doing something which is clearly an Issa. It wasn't clear to me how that was a good answer. But that's the same Koach, that Koach of Leitz Anus. So to summarize, Leitz Anus is where you take something which is valuable and you aim towards it. You undermine it by saying words which show that it's not valuable. And the comparison that the Mesil Sharam gives is it's like someone who's got a big shield in front of him, which he's put oil on, so that anyone who tries to come and give him encouragement, he immediately deflects the encouragement and just slides off. Why? Because he's got his late sonus. He makes fun of this group or that group or this person, that person, or this topic or that topic. He has some joke to make about anyone or anything. And therefore, nothing is able to penetrate his heart. Ki beleitzanus echad uveschok katan yapil adam elav ribui gadol shes oros ispalus. Like I just said about the example of the person who was trying to found a project and everyone was into it. One person made a joke, exaggerated it, everyone lost their interest. So one word of leitzanus, one joke, can drop great input of his oros and his palus. Masha haleiv me'orero mit pa'el ba'atzmo, that which the heart generates its own enthusiasm, midero or to, when you see things that are inspiring, or shamoyanim, or you hear things, shi ororu el cheshbon, which awaken you to do a cheshbon nefesh, or pishpusha ma'asim, or cause it to awaken your heart to do good deeds. I'm gonna pause here on what we're reading here, because I just want to share one story. And this story was enlightening to me as a tool of how to overcome leitzanus. And I've used it many, many, many times since. And just last year, so this happened about 12 years ago. And 9 years ago. And the person who I learned this from, I wasn't in contact with until about a half a year ago. And then I phoned them. I met them and then I phoned them, a rabbi of a particular place. And I said, I must just give hakaras hatov to the rav on this particular story that I'm about to share with you now. And they didn't even remember this incident happened. I said, well, believe me, I remember it, and it's helped me and guided me in many ways. So I was in a shiur, and there was a group of about 18 people listening to a rabbi talking. And there was someone else there who was not part of the group. Don't know who he is, before or after. Maybe he just came to teach this lesson. Eliyahu HaNavi, for us to learn this lesson. And the rabbi who was speaking said, I grew up in a very ominous, it's a word in Hebrew, I don't know how to pronounce it, mu'uyan. How do you say mu'uyan in English? Like a very challenging, it's much more than challenging, a very challenging environment. I grew up in a very challenging religious environment. But Mu'yan is a much stronger word than that. So I grew up in a very challenging religious environment. And this person, who we didn't know who he was, but he was in the group, he said a name of a community, which was a joke at that community, saying, oh, if you must be referring to that community. Now, the rabbi was talking about the fact that he grew up without a religious community around. Where he lived, they were a religious family, but there was no Orthodox shul within about 100 miles radius from where they lived, where he grew up. That's what he meant by it, that he grew up in a challenging religious environment. But this person spoke about a very, very religious particular environment, and he made a joke out of what the rabbi said. So now there's a late sonus in the room. What do you do? What do you do? It's lose-lose. If you tell him off, and you rebuke him for it, so he's a late. That doesn't work. And not only does it not work against him, but then it glorifies what he did in the eyes of everyone else. Because, yeah, he made a good late sonus there. We have to put him in his place. So that doesn't work. And if you ignore it, then you also lose, because then it's accepted by the people. So it's a lose-lose. What do you do? Once a late has made a joke, how do you combat the late? And this is not only relevant in respect to the late himself, it is relevant even if you think of a thought of late in your own mind. And if you've thought of that thought, then what do you do to combat it? So what the rabbi said was, he said to him, that was late Tanus. And the man said, yes, it was. And then he carried on the shiur. I was blown away by that response. He took the late Tanus, put it in a box, and left it with that individual. The person says, yes, that was a late Tanus. That wasn't funny, was it? No, it wasn't. Okay, well, let's leave it there. And it was put aside. No one accepted it. The person himself felt like, I shouldn't have said that. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Anytime you hear late Tanus, or if you think late Tanus, and you say, that is late Tanus, and you say, yes, it is. It limits its power from affecting beyond that limitation. Because the power of late Tanus is it's undermining something great. But when you say, it's late Tanus, then it's not undermining anything. It just is what it is. That needs further development. This is a tool which can help in many, many areas of thought. But it blew me away, and I've used it many, many times in my own life and with other people since then. And I'll give a kar tov to Rabbi Daniel Cohen, who's the rabbi of Bat Ayin, the Yeshuv of Bat Ayin. He's the one who I learned it from. And Bez Hashem, that will be a tool which will help you in many, many life situations as you go through your life. Yeshar Koach.